The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I want to ask you guys, so today we're going to talk about worship. That's the topic, that's the sermon title for today is worship. And I know because you're all good Christian people and you're in church on Sunday morning and you know the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. No one in here worships anything other than God. We're just going to take that as like the assumption, all right? But we also know that like other people, we could point fingers at other people and be like, oh, these people, they worship some, and it could be whatever. And so it got me thinking, well, what is worship? Like how would you define worship? What we're in right now is called a worship service, right? Okay. All right. So I'm breaking all the rules. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this or not. I'm sorry if I'm not, but forgiveness instead of permission, is that right? Somebody in the church taught me that. We won't say who. But all right. A definition of worship is this. It's to regard highly, with extreme respect, something that's honorable or that develops a certain devotion. Okay? So I'm going to ask you, not you, because again, I don't want you guys to think like I'm looking at you, but like, what would you say is something that people have a high amount of respect for, a high amount of devotion to, or even a high amount of regard for? It gives them an importance. I'll give you an example real quick. I'm going to take this off the table before anybody else does. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but this is looking pretty good, isn't it? Got a little bit of gray in there. I'm trying to catch up to David, but I'm not there yet. Josh, I've already got you now. I've got you licked. But I started growing this when Tampa Bay Lightning, which is my hockey team, got into the playoffs. And I haven't touched it since. Like I go in here and I could do a little bit of like cutting right here so it doesn't like go out and I look like a werewolf. It's supposed to kind of go down. And somebody's like, why do you do that? I don't know. Somewhere in the back of my head, I'm devoted to them, and it's called a playoff beard, right, Aiden? And what you're supposed to do is when they get in the playoffs, you're supposed to let your beard grow. It's a devotion. It's something that I'm giving an importance in my life. All right, so now it's your turn. Something that people have a high amount of respect for, a high amount of devotion to, or that they esteem very highly.
Money.
Money, okay. Money. Money's a good one. Something else.
Military.
Okay. You have respect for the military. You have a high amount of esteem for people who are in the military. Something else?
Spouse.
Spouse? Oh, yeah. Good job, man. Sports. Okay. Sports in general. Okay. Your spouse, sports, something else?
Job.
A job. Okay. There's a certain amount of importance in that. We talked last week about how, man, that's one of the first questions guys ask each other. What do you do? It's killing me, man. I want to know what you do, but I'm not going to ask you yet because I'm trying to wait and break that in. But in all these things, we find that there's this certain amount of respect. And some of it's good, some of it's bad. But as we go through today, what I want you to think about is all those things that we mentioned. And you probably got something in the back of your mind. You're like, oh, yeah, there's this. But as we go through today, I want you to think if the worship that some people, again, not you, but some people give those different things that we talked about, if it meets this criteria, if you think that this is a lasting worship for these people, if it's something that they are willing to worship for a long time, is that kind of, we good there? All right, we're going to jump right into the story then. It's in Mark chapter 14, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 14 in your Bible, or it should be on the screens. It says this. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priest and the teachers of the religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, not during the celebration, Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured out the perfume over his head. Some of those who were at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why do you criticize her for doing a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you. You can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could do and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will also be remembered and discussed." Then Judas, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and arranged to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money. So he began to look for opportunities to betray Jesus. Now that's our text. That's where our story comes from. But I want to talk about this idea of lasting worship. Like what makes people stay highly devoted to the military, to sports team, to their spouse, to money, to their job? Have you guys ever like looked at why? And I had a great conversation with somebody today. Say, why do pastors only stay someplace like a year? Because most of the time, somebody gets really angry at the pastor and they have to leave. I don't know why, but like, have you ever like seen people and they stay in a job for like way too long? You're like, why are you still doing this? Like, you either need to get out or they need to let you go or something, but like, you are in this way too long. But there's this devotion, there's this worship, and it's lasting. It stays. And so this morning, I want to talk to you guys about lasting worship. And I want you to understand that when you came in today, you're part of a worship service. And as part of a worship service, there are certain things that if you want what happens during this 45 minutes to an hour time frame on Sunday mornings in here to be lasting, to penetrate, to go out into the rest of your life, then these things need to be on your mind, in your mind, when you come in here. Otherwise, this is just time. This is 45 minutes to an hour that ticks by with you sitting in a chair, wishing that somebody would stop doing whatever they're doing, talking, singing, whatever. You're not necessarily comfortable. I don't know. You can come up with all kinds of things. But in other words, if you're not coming here to have a lasting worship experience, you're wasting your time. And I want you here, but you're wasting your time. The first thing I think lasting worship should be is it needs to be authentic or pure. When you look at verse 3 in the scripture, it says, while they were eating, a woman came with a very beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Another translation says it was pure nard. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea what nard is, just for the record. So don't ask me because I don't know what nard is. Never mind, I'm not going to say that. But I know what pure means. I know what it means when it says it's pure. What they would do is when people had different types of fragrances or something like that, if they were very shrewd in their business dealings, what they would do is they would water down whatever the fragrance was, and it would make it last longer, and therefore they could sell it, and it would still smell, but it wouldn't be as strong, it wouldn't be as pure because it was slightly watered down. They would add different things to it so it would create a more or a quantity that it was greater, but it would not be as genuine, as authentic. Another translation, like I said, when it says about this, about the nard, it is pure nard. In other words, this woman comes with a bottle of pure perfume. It's not watered down. It's not diluted. It's not taken over or put into other things. It's pure. And that got me thinking about worship in here. How many of you guys come in and listen? I'm confession time. Number one guilty person standing right here. When I walk through those doors or when I walk through these doors, I have to confess to you that there are all kinds of other things going on in my mind that are watering down my worship experience. I'm worried because, man, Max, I forgot to set up this microphone. I'm worried because, like, we've got a friend who apparently is coming to stay with us a week, and I don't know how we're going to do that. And I'm thinking about all these different things, and what it's doing is it's watering down and it's distracting me from being here. It's taking away why I'm here. And I know we can't just shut off our brains. We can't shut off our minds. We can't shut off our worries and our doubts and our thoughts and all those different things. But I want to challenge you that when you come in here, is your worship authentic? Is it pure? Are you letting your time that you're in here be filled with all kinds of other things? Here we go. How many of y'all have ever had this thought? What's for lunch today? We could go to La Herradura. But then there's also the Chinese buffet. There's Johnny's Pizza. We have turkey sandwiches at home, but I'm tired of those. Now, what does that do? And listen, I'm telling, because I've had those thoughts. I've had that thought sitting here today. I'm like, man, my tummy got a little rumble. What's going on here? And we have those thoughts. Those things stick in our head. But what it does is it distracts you from worship. It takes away from what God is trying to do in your mind, in your heart, in your life while you're in this place for this set amount of time. And all those different things water down. They distract. They take what is pure and authentic and they lessen it. Now, it may last longer, but it's not as genuine. It's not as authentic. It's not as real. And so in order for you and I to have lasting worship experiences, in other words, lasting in here, what happens in here transfers out. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be pure. The second thing that lasting worship needs to be is sacrificial. Again, verses 3 and 4 say this. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those who were at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and then given the money to the poor. It always struck me that, like, yes, we see it's sacrificial. Like, you know, she takes something that's very expensive. In other words, I don't know what y'all make. I don't need to know what you make. But a year's wages, that's pretty expensive perfume. I don't exactly know, but it was somewhere around 300 denarii is what they would say that would be. That was like 300 days' wages. I don't know what a day's wage is, but I know in our economy today, that would be about $40,000 to $50,000. So this perfume that she breaks open would have been about $40,000 to $50,000 in value. That's pretty expensive. So it was sacrificial because she was giving that. But then there's also that part in there where she broke it. Why would she break it? And so I had to do some reading to find out. And what I found out is that perfume people who I don't know what job title that would be, perfumist. We're going to make that word up if it's not one. They would take and they would actually seal their jars of perfume so that only a small amount would escape at a time. Anybody got any like seventh grade boys in here? What do you know about seventh grade boys? Do they use just a little bit of that body spray? Do they use just a little bit of that cologne? Or do they just like pour it on, man? Like they douse it on. They take a shower in that stuff. Why? Anybody ever smelled that? It's like choking. It's suffocating, isn't it? It seeps in your eyeballs and they burn just being in the presence of a seventh grade boy. Why? Because sometimes a little bit is all you need, right? You don't need to shower in it. You need to wear deodorant and shower regularly, but it doesn't need to be in cologne or body spray. But like the reason that they would do this, that they would seal it, is because only a little bit was really needed. They only needed a little bit of that perfume. And so what the person would do is they would seal it in order to make it last longer so that you would get a little bit at a time. So this woman could have gone and she could have dabbed a little bit in her hands and rubbed it on Jesus' head and it would have been sufficient, right? But see, I think she broke it because she was saying, listen, I'm saving nothing. I'm holding nothing back. I don't want to give you just a little. I don't want to give you a dab. I don't want the bare minimum. I don't want the smallest amount. I'm leaving everything I have, and this is it here. I'm breaking it open and emptying it on you. It was a sacrifice. She was holding nothing back. I wonder how many of us come into worship services like this, and we come in and we're holding that one thing back. Hey, listen, God, I'm good. I'm coming to church on Sunday morning. Sunday school, don't ask me about that. That's not the right time for this. But I'm here for Sunday service. Why is this guy walking with a plate? Time out. Now, you want my money? Hold up. We about to fight if you're trying to take my money. That's not going to work. Why is this guy talking about getting involved in church? I'm here Sunday morning. Leave me alone. That's enough. And see, we're all right as long as we can hold that one thing back. As long as we've got the reserves, as long as, hey, listen, if this whole Jesus thing doesn't pan out, I can still sell half a bottle of perfume for half a day's wages and I'll be set for life. But see, this woman wasn't looking at it like that. She was breaking it. She broke it, in other words, because she was saying, this is my sacrifice. This is everything I have, and you have everything I have. It's all yours. In our worship, I wonder how many of us hold back. Lasting worship should also be personal. Verse 8, Jesus says, she's done what she could and has anointed my body for burial beforehand. Notice he doesn't say, she did what you should have done, or she did what you could have done, or he didn't say, listen, this is what she did, what you, whatever. She did what she could have done. Anybody ever get mad because God does so much other stuff in somebody else's life, and you kind of get like, what? Why is that person doing all this stuff? Why is God blessing that person? Why are all these good things coming to them and not to me? I don't get it. But see, lasting worship's personal. It's not about what God's doing in that person's life or in this person's life. Or it's not about how that person's praising God for what he's doing, or this person's praising God. It's not about styles or songs, or it's not about anything like that. It's what God is doing in your life personally. Now, for some of y'all, that becomes a big problem. Some of you love corporate worship because I can see when God's doing something in somebody else's life, and that makes me happy. What's God doing in your life? Well, I can see when somebody else is... No. What's God doing in your life? See, I'm convinced that you did not just become a Christian. You did not just become a follower of Christ. You did not just get saved to come sit on a church pew and watch God do something in somebody else's life. God saved you radically through grace to do something in your life. So if you're sitting there today and all you're doing is watching somebody else and what God's doing in their life, and you're saying, oh, I'm so grateful for what God's doing over there, I have to tell you that lasting worship is personal. It's what God's doing in your life. Some of you have had the same relationship with Christ since 1942. I don't know if anybody here is actually old enough to be 1942. Maybe Brother Leo, but I'd say some of you have had the same relationship with Christ since 2000. We'll go there. And nothing's changed. There's been no growth. There's been no dedication. You're the same Christian you were the day you got saved. And that's not what personal worship is. That's not why God takes this time. That's not why God pours his word into you so that you'll stay the same. He does it so that you'll grow, so that you'll develop, and you'll become more like Christ. Lasting worship should be public. Again, verses 1 through 3, when you read there, it says that this is during the Feast of the Passover, the Festival of Unleavened Bread. They were in the house of Simon the leper. They were eating a meal. Everything about this screams, there's a lot of people around. Every Jew had to come to Jerusalem for this feast. This was something they had to be a part of. They had to take a pilgrimage. They had to be there if they could. They had to make all available possibilities to be at this thing. So Jerusalem itself would have been full. Then he goes to this guy, Simon the leper's house. Now, why do you think they mentioned that Simon was a leper? Anybody got a thought? They wouldn't go to lepers' houses. This is unweird, because what that means is that this guy has had family members come into town, and for the first time in years, they get to go be in Simon's house. I get to go be with Simon. I haven't gotten to hug his neck in ages. It's the family reunion of all family reunions, and everyone who could be in that house is jam-packed in that house because Simon no longer has leprosy. Why is Jesus there? Probably, most people say, because Jesus healed Simon of his leprosy. So this house is packed. Everyone is there. It's the after show, or like the, I forget what they call them now, but like the after the show, the like follow-up show that they do on reality. No, you guys don't watch reality TV. Never mind. It's the press conferences of all press conferences. Everyone's there. Everyone's excited. And that's where this woman decides, I've got to worship. In this most public, crowded arena, she can't sit back any longer. Now, I don't know about y'all, but some of you come in here and you say, there's a lot of folks here today. I'm not good with worshiping because there's, I don't know who that is. Do you know who that is? Okay. There's someone new back there. I can't worship because they're new. But lasting worship is public. It's private, or it's personal in the sense that it needs to be you, but it's public in the sense that it needs to happen with other people. Other people need to see what God's doing in your life. This kind of worship leaves a lasting impact. Have you ever taken the time and read this story before? There's this one phrase in there that catches me every single time I read this story. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. So much in that statement. One, Jesus knows that the good news of what he's about to do on the cross is not going to stay in Jerusalem. It's not going to stay in the Middle East. It's going to be preached through the entire world. Jesus already knows the difference he's fixing to make on the cross. He says, listen, when this happens, when I die on the cross, I forgive your sins. I forgive their sins. I forgive the sins of humanity across the board. When I die on the cross and take away the penalty of sin, and that word gets told everywhere, what this woman did is going to be mentioned. What this woman's done, people are going to talk about that. It's going to leave a lasting impact. So what did she do? What was it about? Because that drives me nuts when I hear that. Because I'm going to be transparent, which I usually am. Probably need to get a little bit more of a filter, but here's my biggest fear in life. I'm gonna actually come down steps for this one. My biggest fear in life is that I'm gonna be forgettable. I'm gonna go someplace. I'm gonna be someplace. I'm gonna work a job. I'm gonna have a family. I'm gonna do whatever, and then as soon as I'm gone, it's like I was never there. Okay. For the time being, great. But that's not what I want. I want to leave a lasting impact wherever I am, wherever God places me, whoever's in my family, I want to leave a lasting impact with. But I got to be completely honest with you too. It's not just that. I want to leave an impact in the world. I want the world to look back and say, man, that guy John Prose, I don't know who he was. I don't know where he was. He lived in somewhere in Louisiana. I don't even know how to spell it. But like, he lived there. But what he did impacted me here. That's the selfish side of me. I really want that, man. And so when I read this story and I see that this woman, who all she did was take a jar of perfume, break it, and pour it over Jesus, gets told that she will be remembered wherever the gospel is told, it ignites something in me. And it's like, what did she do that I could do? I don't have an alabaster jar of nard. I don't even know what nard is. So what can I do? I think the reason Jesus tells us this is because this woman sets the example for what worship should look like. Because this woman breaks down all the walls, breaks down all the barriers, and for the first time in Jesus' life, someone treats him with the worship, the respect, the admiration that he deserves. And that's why this woman's story is told forever. And then I think about it and I'm like, okay, good, cool. And then I get convicted. And here's why I get convicted. Maybe this isn't you. Maybe this is just me. This woman had one opportunity, one time. I can picture her in other people. John's translation says this is Mary Magdalene. Some people believe Mary Magdalene was the woman we talked about a couple weeks ago, who everyone was ready to stone because she was caught in the act of adultery. And then she became a follower of Christ. And that's who this person is, what a lot of scholars would agree. And can you just picture that woman sitting in this room? There's a lot of people in Simon's house today. Man, when that leprosy thing cleared up, everybody came to see Simon. I've got this bottle of perfume, and man, I really think that I need to, I don't know how, somehow I have to give it to Jesus. But there's a lot of people. I can't give him this whole bottle because they could use it for something else. And so maybe I should just, and all these thoughts and all these questions run through this woman's mind, and she sits there and she watches and she watches and she watches. And finally, she's had enough. She can't take it anymore. She jumps to her feet. She runs to Jesus. She breaks the bottle. She pours it over his head and she says, whatever you have, whatever, it's yours. Everything I have nothing left. I'm sacrificing. I'm giving you everything. You are it. You're not just the Messiah. You are the Lord, the Savior of all the earth. You are God. Outside of Peter, I think this woman is one of the only other people to realize the deity of Christ before the resurrection. And I get convicted because so many times I come in a worship service like this, and I sit and I worry about lunch, I worry about my bank account, worry about why my kid has a dress on where a girl has no mouth. I worry about all these different things, and all these different things just run through my brain, and I completely miss why I'm here. I come to a service like this and I say, well, you know, listen, Brother Max, that song just wasn't the song that I'd pick today. Can't worship. Can't do it. I'm checked out. Come and you say, man, there's a lot of people here today. I don't really think I'm going to hear from God. Whatever your excuse, whatever your reason is, you take a moment in time that has been given to you as a blessing to come, to be a part of a worship service where God wants to pour into you. He wants you to come to the same realization this woman did and say, listen, you're it. You're it. And everything I have is yours. And we come week after week, time after time, month after month, year after year, and never make that decision. Never make that confession. We hold things back. We get distracted. We don't take advantage of why you're here. This Sunday passes. You walk out that door. Shake my hand on the way out. Oh, that was so good, preacher. Good. I don't probably remember 90% of what I say to y'all, so I'm glad that you do. But then you get in your car. You go home. It was just another hour on Sunday morning. And it left no lasting impact on your life. And it's going to leave no lasting impact on the lives of those around you who are desperately dying to see Christ in you. So my challenge and my encouragement for you today is this. Don't let this time go by. Make your worship lasting worship. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the fact that they've come. We're in a sanctuary on a Sunday morning. God, and it would be so easy to say, time's up. It's over. But God, I think that this morning, you want to give us a moment, a chance to express to you our worship. God, to express to you, we're not going to hold anything back. We're not going to be distracted. We're going to be intentional about the time when we get to be with you. And Father, we're going to come to you and we're going to say, you're it. God, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But everything I have is yours. You are the only hope for my life. God, whatever you need to do this morning, I pray that you would make us obedient to you. And that, Father, during this moment, those of us who need to worship you would do whatever you are calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.